I want you to, in a brief moment of silence, simply open your hearts and your minds to the process of envisioning possibilities. That was part of what we did last Sunday after the 10 a.m. service, when we gathered in the parish hall for the 283rd annual meeting of St. Peter's. And like all annual meetings, there was the business to be conducted: sharing reports, reviewing the budget, electing officers and vestry members. But the leadership of the vestry wanted to make this annual meeting a time for us to focus on our mission, who we are at St. Peter's, and how we live that out in the world. That process began last year, when at the annual meeting, we broke into small groups and envisioned who St. Peter's was and what our dreams were for the future. And out of that, the vestry came together and came up with a vision statement that has been part of St. Peter's for this past year. A simple statement representing who we are and what our mission is: welcoming all, serving our community, connecting with others. Three simple, doable tasks: welcoming, serving, connecting. But this year we wanted to engage in an exercise which would explore how, in a real tangible way, we live out that vision, how we live out the spirit of that vision in not only the day-to-day life of our parish, but in our own lives. Now, as many of you know, I'm a great fan of our presiding bishop, Michael Curry. I think it's just a real hoot that we have really a guy from a Southern Baptist background in some ways being our presiding bishop. But he brings energy to this church. And one of Bishop Curry's passions is to inspire the Episcopal Church to become part of what he calls the Jesus Movement. It's a movement that takes us out of our church buildings and into the world, seeing our mission out there rather than in here. And as part of that movement, Bishop Curry envisions the church in a way that he has come to believe is essential for the church to assert its leadership in the world today. What he believes is that the church is a community that reorients itself around the teachings of Jesus. Now, that's a simple statement, but let's understand what that involves. Jesus revealed in his teaching, preaching, and ministry God's intention for what human life in this world is all about. It was a way of life that became known as the gospel of love. And Jesus really reaffirmed that at the Last Supper with his commandments. A commandment I give you: love one another as I have loved you. And then later on, I have not come to be served, but to serve. And in that, the mission of the church was born. But what does it mean to make this gospel of love the core of your very being? And to do that, we've got to get out of our sentimentality understanding of love. Making love the core of your being is seeking a way of life that seeks the well-being of the other. You see, love is not self-centered, it's other-directed. It's a way of life that's grounded in compassion and goodness and justice and forgiveness. And each of those can only occur when you make someone else the focus of your attention and the focus of your act. Those who followed the way of Jesus, those who in his lifetime followed him, reoriented their lives around the love that he preached. And they found something very special. They found that life to be a life that set them free. Free from what? Free from anxieties and suffering and pain that they experienced in the world. It set them free from loneliness and hopelessness and despair. It gave them an identity. It gave them hope. And it gave them freedom to live their life in concert with the teachings of Jesus. And following the resurrection, people then experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of Christ in their own lives, in such a way that it drew them together in a community that would reflect the very essence of who Jesus was. A community of people committed to living in the way of Jesus, committed to a way of life that was loving and liberating and life-giving, not only to them, but to those they touched. It was a community committed to going into the world to help this world become a place that was more living and liberating and life-giving. It was a community of people who lived in remembrance of Jesus' very last words from the Gospel of Matthew. "You will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You, by following me, by following the way of Jesus, you will be in the world my witnesses. The world will know about the love of God that I have come to share through your witness. No other way, through your witness. And that can change the world. And that's Bishop Curry's message to us as Episcopalians, to become part of that movement, to believe that and internalize that in our lives and in our actions. And for 2,000 years, the church has lived in the light of that vision. And the world has been changed by its witness. But that then leaves us with a question for us to contemplate this morning. How can we reflect the Jesus movement in our own day? How do we, in a tangible way, live that out? How do we, living in the spirit of our vision statement, welcome all, serve our community, and connect with others? How can we do that in a way that is liberating, life-giving, and forgiving? Well, let's take a look at that. How do we tangibly welcome all? Well, from Jesus' perspective, that meant welcoming the stranger in our midst. To be open and affirming of people without exception. To see in each person a child of God, just as Jesus did. And as Jesus did, that meant that he associated not only with the religious and the powerful and the rich, but also with the poor, those on the margins, the orphans, the widows, the hurting, the lame, the blind. He made no distinction. All people were there, all people were in the concept of the love of God. And his life and his witness testified to that. So how do we do that? Well, we do it here in our worship by welcoming people, embracing them, and make them feel here you can be accepted for who you are without reservation. But we do it at our dinners. As we welcome people through our doors, we come in and we interact with them. And just by the way that we share our joy in being here in this community with people, people come back. They find here a welcoming place that they come back to month after month after month. And the same is true of our tag sales and our fairs, where we not only just do it as a fundraiser, but in the old word, we do it as a fundraiser. And we like to have fun, and fun with the people who come through our doors, welcoming them and making them feel good. We do it in our ministries here, as we reach out to people, not only within our community, but beyond. But welcoming is not something that's just limited to St. Peter's. If we are welcoming people, we do that in our social circles as well. We do it in our places of worship, our places of work, in our schools, in our very lives. We become people that are tolerant, people that are open to engaging with people who are different from us. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, to be able to stand apart from the fray and from all the divisions, and to be people who listen and bring people together rather than separate them. Welcoming all. But we're also called to serve our community. And we serve best by putting other people's needs before our own. A way of love grounded in compassion and goodness and justice and forgiveness. And there are many ways we do that, by supporting them through some of the proceeds from our fundraisers, in which we support groups like the Hebron Interfaith Human Services, or the Windham Area Interfaith Ministries, WAIM, or AHM, the No Freeze Shelter. We've reached out to IRIS and to the refugees that come into New Haven and support their work as they bring refugees and incorporate them into our communities. We do it through food banks that we support, as you bring in food and we share the food with communities immediately in our area. There are the clothing drives, not only Samantha's clothing drive that she had, but other clothing drives that we have during the year, in which we donate clothes so that people may be warm, or that those who are coming out of prison might have suits that they can go to apply for a job. There's the Andover, Columbia, Hebron, Marlboro Hunger Network that works to try to find ways that we can support those who are hungry in our communities. Serving our community means not only supporting those activities, but becoming involved. And doing it not for your own benefit, but because there's this sense in each one of us that we want to reach out and serve one another, that we want to give those who do not have as much as we have and maybe make their lives a little better. And what about connecting with others? Well, in the simple way, that's just simply taking time to develop relationships. And that means becoming interested and involved in the lives of others. And that's not always easy to do. Sometimes what we'd like to do is to kind of pull away and remain isolated rather than getting involved. But by connecting with others, we run the risk of becoming involved in someone else's life, responding to their need, embracing them as friends or companions. And in doing so, we make people feel that they are special. And we reflect something of the love of God in our lives as we share with them. If they're special to us, we convey that they're special to God. And as we do that, often we might work to reconciliation, reaching out to those who have hurt us or who we've hurt, and trying to bring together, once again reconnecting, rather than letting those divisions keep us separated. And connecting with others means that we basically take two things. First of all, a spirit of gentleness and kindness toward one another, being forgiving and forgiving, but also at showing concern and support and offering honest appraisal when that's important and when that's appropriate. Connecting with others means that we do much more than just stay on an acquaintance basis. We run the risk of developing deeper connections with people around us. So by being true to our vision of welcoming all, serving our communities, and connecting with others, we become part of that Jesus movement that Bishop Curry talks about. And it may not seem fancy or adequate by what I've said, but that is the way the Jesus movement spread. That's the way it began in the first century. That's the way it has continued over 2,000 years. People doing the simple thing of sharing yourself with one another in each generation, beginning in the first century and continuing now in the 21st century. And let's not lose sight of what the essence of this vision is really all about: to bring people to know and feel that they are beloved of God. That is the starting point and the ending point of our vision and of our mission. In today's gospel reading, Jesus, at the Sermon on the Mount, looks out over the crowd and he said, "You are the light of the world." And a light cannot be hid. It was never intended to be put under a bushel, but to be seen, so it gives light to all. We are the light of the world. And our question is, does our character as Christians reflect that light? Do our actions reflect that light? But Jesus also said, "You are the salt of the earth." What does that mean? Salt brings zest to food. And when we're the salt of the earth, we bring zest to life. We bring zest to people around us. People know that we have made a difference in their lives and in the lives of others around us. Being the salt of the earth means people's lives are better for having you in their lives, and you are better for having them in yours. And when we lose that zest, we lose something, our light dies out. And our challenge, which Bishop Curry would have us remember, that being part of the Jesus movements means that we take seriously we are the light of the world, and we keep that light alive. And we are the salt of the earth, but that takes action and courage. So I encourage all of us in the days and weeks and the months that are ahead for all of you to be people to reflect on the vision, reflect on your mission, and become part of the Jesus movement. Because that's the way that we share the love of God with those around us. And that's the way that God's will is done for the world. And that's the way we participate in God's mission for this earth. So blessed are you. And blessed is our ministry. And may God bless us and keep us in God's holy and life-giving love. Amen.